more than a memory. A good friend of mine lost her dad when she was very young. She scarcely remembers him. When she had her own children, one of her greatest fears was that her children would grow up without her. She feared that if something happened to her, her children would not remember her, just like she had not remembered her own father. Thankfully, of course, her children grew up and her fear never became a reality. But as a young mother, it was terrifying for her to consider this possibility. She realized that perhaps even as great as the pain of losing someone is, it is even worse not to remember. You see, today's text continues where we left off last week. These verses in John's Gospel are a part of what we talked about last week of the farewell discourse of Jesus to his disciples as he was telling them goodbye. You see, by this time in the story, Jesus has already eaten the Passover meal with them. He has washed their feet. He's even predicted the betrayal of Judas and the denial of Peter. He has comforted them with the early verses of chapter 14. And here, as we begin in verse 15 here today and the verses following, we begin to see some things. They give us the first teaching of regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's the beginning to tell us, Jesus tells them, I'm leaving somebody with you, the Holy Spirit. And throughout this farewell cycle, Jesus is sensitive to his disciples' sadness and fear over his impending death. You see, inasmuch as Jesus has been their teacher and leader, he's also been their friend. He's been with them day in and day out for over 3 years. They've walked and talked. They've stayed together. They've been there for each other. And they were affected greatly by the reality that they were not going to be together on earth much longer. Being very aware of their feelings, Jesus acknowledges in this passage that though he is leaving them, he is leaving them in this life that we know here on earth. He says, there will be one to follow me who will be there forever. There's one coming in my name. Jesus tells them that he will send them an advocate. The term advocate takes on various meanings, including that of support, counsel, comfort, and exhortation. You see, Jesus was assuring them that though he would not be there with them any longer in person, that they would not be alone. God was going to be with them in a way like never before. You see, in this passage here today, Jesus divulges very little specific detail regarding the Holy Spirit. So it is hard for us to imagine how receptive the disciples were to this concept. It would not be long, of course, until they received the life-changing Holy Spirit that came and was there. Although the concept of the Holy Spirit is a familiar concept, at least in some form, for all of us as Christians, it's something we've heard about. It's something that is not foreign to us. But guess what? It's not without mystery. It's still the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. It's something that still has a bit of awe to it, a bit of mystery that we can't quite grab hold to it. But we know that it's there. The disciples probably experienced that same mystery that you and I continue to experience today. Yet this is what Jesus offered them in his place. Jesus offers this advocate, or sometimes it's called the paraclete, as a source of comfort and presence for the disciples. They would not be alone. They would not worry about their memories of him. Because through the Spirit, Jesus would be present with them. Oh, what a wonderful gift that is. What a wonderful gift it is to have. It's something that we know that is there. It brings us peace. It brings us comfort. It brings us understanding. It's someone that's there when we don't realize sometimes that someone's there. I think that many of us as Christians are intimidated by the Holy Spirit. That we are affected by the various interpretations of the Spirit, its manifestation, and its purpose. It is no wonder that many Christians nearly ignore this part of the story altogether. Yet the Holy Spirit is such an intentional part of Jesus' message. It was the final wonderful part of His story. You see, He did not come to change this world for that one certain period of time. Jesus' presence is not just experienced by those select few that were 2 millennia ago. Oh no, it was not for just those people. His life-changing message and presence are timeless gifts through the Holy Spirit for you and I. We have the access to Jesus in a personal, tremendous way. We never experience the human part of Jesus, but the Spirit is alive and well. The Spirit is here with us today. The Spirit lives within us. The Spirit is a part of who we are. I want you to think about a time, maybe in your life, whenever you can remember when the Spirit was there, that it was just overwhelming, that it was with you, it was in your peace, in your presence, it just brought you such comfort. So many times on Wednesday morning in our Bible study, we get sometimes I've got one or two in there that just love to run rabbits. That's what I call. I said, y'all, just let's get it back. Let's bring it back in. But every now and then we go to some of those places, but we experience those things and we share those stories. We share those times whenever we know God's Spirit is there with us. We know that Holy Spirit has been with us, that dwells with us, that has given us the opportunity to see things and experience things that sometimes are not explainable. And other people just go, yeah, right, sure, you know, because people don't understand. People don't really know. You know, we all have times that we can remember something has happened to us and we'll say, wow, that had to be the Spirit. That had to be God allowing the Spirit to deal with us and to bring us peace and to bring us comfort at a time whenever we needed it. I've told countless times of things in Bible study, and I've told them here in this pulpit, of times that I know that God has been with us. God has brought us through so much. When I was a younger girl, my grandmother Ivy, died when I was 2 years old. I was almost three. And I have pictures of her in my mind, says that, like little snapshots. Once in a while, a picture of her will pop up, a little something of seeing her, maybe of doing something, but I do not remember her. I cannot put, you know, I can't put it together, but every now and then I see glimpses. And when I was in high school, I had a calling on my life, as you all know. It happened younger, but it kind of was manifested, and I knew that that's what I needed to do. But one night, I had prayed about it, and I was in the 10th grade. And when I went to sleep that night, I had this dream, and it woke me up. And sitting in my room, in a rocking chair that was not there, was my grandma. And she rocked very peacefully and very quietly. And my grandmother was a very solemn lady. If you look at any pictures from her, she didn't do a lot of smiling. She was pretty serious. Every now and then you'd get a little something out of her. But all of a sudden she looked at me and she smiled. And she went away. And I said, okay. Okay, Lord. I got something I knew that it was an answer. It was something that brought me peace. To begin with, it was kind of frightening, but all of a sudden, it was the most peaceful thing in the world. I knew she was there to let me know that everything was okay, that it was going to be all right, that the path that I was going was going to be okay, and that God was going to take care of me. Throughout my life, things have happened like that. When I pray for things, I see things, or I know it, and I experience it, and I say, okay, whatever. Don't be sending no more people to me, okay? Things like that. But I've seen people, I have watched so many people leave this earth. And it's amazing what God can do in those times. And to know that that has just gone by you. A lady at my last church, Miss Norma Warren, her children called me one day and said, it's time, it's happening. She had cancer and she was at home, and I made my way back to over there. And she was in her bed, in her home, and her family was all around. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Mom and I were, it was my day off, and I was actually in Red Springs when I got that phone call. And I said, well, I'll be back as soon as I can. Well, I got there, and we went in, and we all went and, you know, were able to touch her hand and talk to her and pray with her. Her granddaughters were all around her. She had four granddaughters, and they were all like young teenagers, young adults. And I've told this story because her son has actually come and sang in this church with the group he's in. And one of those granddaughters sings with the group and has also been in this church and sang. And all of a sudden, when Miss Norma took her last breath and we knew she was gone, it was a beautiful sunshiny day. And all of a sudden, the clouds, the sun, it was turned dark in that room. And you could feel, all of a sudden, it was almost, I weren't the only one. It just felt like something went by you and brushed. And all of a sudden, the sun came out, and it was just as bright. And Mike looked at me, her son, he said, did you feel that? And we're all like, oh, yeah. It was the spirit. We walked, her spirit, her soul went by us. It left us. It left that place that day. And those type things, you can't, you got to be there. I mean, I can just tell you that, but it just to know that feeling, just to know what it made you feel like, to made you say, okay, God, wow. To know that He's here, and He brought us such peace and such comfort that day, even in the midst of death. That's where it brings us the comfort. He says, I'm here to tell you I'm taking care of you people. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to be here with you. You see, the Father has sent the Spirit in my name to teach you everything, to be here, to be your comfort, your guide, your blessing. You know, it's amazing to see things, and we don't need to forget that. We don't need to let those go. We don't need to say, oh, I don't believe that happened, or, oh, that's just, you know, hocus pocus, blah, blah, blah. You know, I hear people try it because they don't like to go there. They're uncomfortable with getting there. Because it's something they can't explain. It's something that they can't put fact to and point to. But you know something? God works in and through us all. He uses us and He reminds us daily of the gifts of life around us. So I ask you all this morning that during this season of Eastertide, do not ignore the whole story. Look at it all. The Father, Son, and the Spirit, look at it all. Look at the whole thing. Do not bid Christ farewell at the end of Easter. Do not let Him go only to reintroduce yourselves to Advent. This year, let us grasp the real Christ and feel His life-changing presence through the great Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father leaves in His name. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this day. To know, Lord, that it's more than a memory, that it's more than a feeling, that it is something that we know dwells deep within us, that it's Your Spirit that is there that holds us and gives us that peace and that comfort and that understanding. Lord, this day, as we go from this place, remind us of Your goodness. Remind us that we know of the song we are going to sing here in a few minutes, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He has been here amongst us and dwelt with us and lived and left us, you know, no, all fear is gone. Lord, we thank You so much for Your gift. We thank You so much for Your life. We thank You for this Spirit that dwells today. Remind us of Your goodness in all that we do and all that we say. For it is in Your Son's great and holy name I pray. Amen.